Konnichiwa, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Karate Cafe's podcast. I'm Gene Myers, a student of Shorinru Shorinkan Karate and Two Circle Jiu-Jitsu. Joining me as usual are my fellow stooges, Pete Chambeau, who is also a student of Shorinru Shorinkan, and Paul Wilson, a student of Shorinru Kenshinkan Karate. Greetings, gentlemen.
Hey, Gene, how's it going?
Kabamwa, Gene, because someone might be watching this in the evening or listening in the evening.
Okay.
I have one quick question before we get going. Gene, have you been listening to a podcast teaching Japanese after I got you iTunes?
No, what's so... I mean, konnichiwa. Even your dumbest guy, John, knows that one, right? Gaijin?
True.
Gaijin. Yeah. I am actually subscribed to a Japanese podcast because, you know, I got about a half-hour drive into work, and I subscribed to it, I think, a week or two ago, and there's a ton of lessons, none of which I've actually listened to yet.
Yeah, there's like 800 lessons in that one.
It's the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we're already on a segue. Paul, you use iTunes? I mean, after last week's podcast, I hope that more and more people are listening to us with iTunes and subscribing to other podcasts as well.
Yeah, I started listening with iTunes before I got my iPod. I'd listened to it at work, and I downloaded it here on my laptop. And then after my lovely son was born, my lovely wife bought me a lovely iPod. And so that's when I started listening to the iTunes. But before that, yeah, I listened to iTunes.
Well, since Pete tightened me up, I've been subscribing to a couple, two or three podcasts. So I'm good to go here. That was great.
You know, and there are a couple of pretty good video podcasts, too. A couple of good martial art ones where, I mean, they show, you know, techniques and they're breaking down kata. And so there's, you know, you can go both ways. You can listen or you can watch.
Cool.
And put in the forums under the thread that I put in the forums the link to those video podcasts.
I can do that. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Guys, we would be remiss if we didn't congratulate Travis Brown and his daughter Kaylee for passing their yellow belt test.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right. Good
Congratulations,
going.
Travis. Anybody listening or regular listeners to our podcast here will know Travis from he was the white belt that we had on a few weeks ago, getting his perspective. So we're pleased to hear that he and his daughter both passed their yellow belt test and. Now they got some color under their waist, so congratulations.
Yep, and we'll hope to have him on in the near future and have him give us his impressions of what his test was all about.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because he, it's going to be fresh in his mind, you know, like we're the old ancient grandmasters or anything, but, you know, like, well, my last test was in 2004, but, you know, my first test was in... 1987. I'm sure you guys are right around the same time, and I don't remember what my first test was like, other than sheer fright. I'm sure, but
so your first test is like your first kiss. It curls your toes.
it curled something, especially when they were, you know, tossing us around. That's when we used to train hard in the snow up to our knees.
Uphill both ways.
That's right. None of this namby-pamby mats.
Oh man.
Actually, we never trained with mats until probably a year or so after I started. We just—it was a tile floor in a church community center. Man, we were doing full-on throws. Yeah. Of course, you know, I was 18 then, so. I was...
For a long time, we just recently moved into the dojo we train in now. For the longest time, we were in a much larger dojo in the same mall, but we trained just on a thin carpet spread out over, you know, cement floor.
Mm.
And you know, did our ukemis on that?
Well, you wussies had carpet.
That's true.
Yeah.
No. You know, you have carpet burn. So
when we left, we each took a little piece of that carpet to remember it by.
I'm sure the next tenants were like, "Hey, man, why are there all these little squares of carpet gone?"
So.
Yeah.
Hey, Gene.
Yo.
Would you like to further discuss your hot button issue that you posted on the forums for the people who Cruzar forums, which I'm sure there are literally thousands out there. Gene posted on there. Well, Gene, why don't you explain to you your post? It was pretty intriguing. I look forward to talking about it.
A couple weeks back, I posted on our forum under the title, How Far Has Traditional Karate Come in America, or something like that. And I think what got me started on that is we had several podcasts, two or three anyway, that Pete recorded when we went down to New Jersey to train with Kiyoshi Hurton and his senior students for summer camp this past summer. And since that time, you know, a lot of the things that they were talking about got me to thinking. And I frequent a few different forums, and coincidentally, the same topic was debated on some of those forums. And I guess it just lit a fire under me, and I was getting a little frustrated. I think my position is that when you have someone like Kiyoshi Hurton, who's trained, you know, for over 40 years in the same style, who's you know, trained in Okinawa, trained with Okinawan masters, you know, he's trained with Nakazato Sensei, he's trained with Iha Sensei, you know, he's trained with a lot of the masters over there and here. When you have someone like that, I don't believe that that person really needs to answer, if you will, to a dojo in Japan, Okinawa, or wherever. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, Kiyoshi Hurton. I'm just using him as an example. But anyone, any Westerner who has those kinds of credentials, I think can stand on his or her own, and they don't need to feel compelled to have a dojo that they answer to or draw their lineage directly to Okinawa or Japan or China or whatever. Some participants in the other forums were saying, well, then it's not legitimate. You're not legitimate, you know, in that particular style. And to me, that's just insane. So I'd heard enough of it, and I posted on a couple of forums there, and I just thought I'd carry it over to our forum. So having said all that, you know, what's your guys' take on that?
Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is I'd like to know how people of similar standing in their art that are in Okinawa are treated. Are they treated the same way or as Kiyoshi is? Or, you know, are they given the same amount of freedom or more?
I'm not sure. I mean, what do you mean by freedom?
Is Kiyoshi treated to a different level because he's a Westerner?
Okay. One of the senior belts from New Jersey posted on another forum. That it's his experience that Iha Sensei has his national training seminar in every summer in Michigan, and he brings over, you know, some Okinawan masters, and I guess for some time they would sit on the sidelines and watch or not participate while all the Americans trained. But now, I guess, since 1999, 2000, 2001, that's changing, that the Americans are now teaching with, right alongside the Okinawans, and even teaching the Okinawans directly themselves, you know, during these seminars. So, I mean, that's progress. That's definitely progress, you know. My concern is that, and I'm not singling anybody out, okay, but what do you do when you've got an American 7th or 8th Dan, okay, who's got some really significant credentials in the martial arts, okay, traditional martial arts, and was affiliated with the dojo in Okinawa. The master there of that style passes away. And one of the master's students or one of their offspring inherit the style. That student or offspring, okay, has, you know, less than half the knowledge and experience of the American 7th or 8th Dan. Okay? Does that American still have to draw his or her lineage to that dojo in order to be legitimate?
That's a very good question. You know, and it's going to be kind of interesting. You know, I don't know, because I can really just relate from, you know, my association. And we all know, like, you know, Master Kisei has a son, Isao. He's taken over the style. Everyone knows he's taken over the style. There's you know, it's cut and dried. And I guess, you know, I don't know over in Okinawa. I don't think there's anybody that is the same rank or higher than Isao Sensei. But I know there are, you know, we have seventh dons here who've been training a really long time. And mm-hmm. But I think that one of the things that Master Kisei has done has he's made sure to include, you know, when he comes over, for a couple, 3 or 4 years he didn't do it, but Isao Sensei would come with him on these yearly trips and come around, and he, Master Kisei, would kind of watch and make sure everything was going okay, but Isao Sensei was kind of running the drills and doing the demonstrations and, you know, doing all that stuff. So what I think he's done in that case is he's pretty much said, like, you know, he's taken over the style. And he outranks, near as I know, he outranks, he's the second highest guy in the style rank-wise as well. So, I think that's what's been done as far as making sure that there's not going to be any rifts in our style. And I think Master Kisei has done that because he has seen that happen. You know, it's happened to him, you know, where people break off. Now, the people that I train with here in the States that are seventh dons, they were, you know, fifth and sixth dons in some other styles when they came over, or they, you know, had a couple of black belts in a different style, then joined our association. They're regional directors. They're all outstanding martial artists. And they can all, yes, stand on their own, but they choose not to. So, you know, I think it's the culture. One of the things that I think answers the question is it depends on the culture of the association. You know, if the association really doesn't us or them outlook, whereas, like, you're either in Okinawa or you're in the States, and then, you know, the Grand Master maybe shuttles in between, or people go to Okinawa, that's not a good relationship, and it's not inclusive enough, and will cause that, where, you know, someone will train for 30 or 40 years in a style, and then maybe for some reason not be with that style anymore, or for whatever reason, you know. Yeah, do they still stand on their own? I think they do still stand on their own because they still have all that background. You can't take that away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, you know, I think most of the lineage and that sort of thing is pure marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not what either your karate is good or it's not. You know, either you're a good teacher or it's not.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you can market yourself all day. And, you know, we've seen it before. We see it with these McDojos. We see it with you know, startup arts, for lack of a better term, is, you know, even if people who, like, kind of create their own art, you still say that, well, I trained with this guy and this guy and this guy. They never just say, like, well, I trained in this and this is what I teach. They're mm-hmm. still trying to push that. So I think that, you know, in the case of somebody who's like a seventh or eighth Dan in their style, they can totally stand on their own, you know. I guess my concern is, and, you know, maybe it doesn't consider that much at eighth Dan, you know, you're really, you know, how much more are you really going to learn, you know, technique-wise? You're just, you know, a lot of guys, that's the reason why they drop out of their association, because they're not learning anything else. And I think that's bogus. You know, because I know there's still stuff that Master Kisei isn't teaching these, you know, big kahunas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that the only loss in that standpoint is where are you going to progress and how are you going to match up your progression?
Mm-hmm. You made a good point, and that exactly parallels where I was going, Paul, is, you know, you make karate your own. You know, it's if you, and that's what makes your karate good or not. It's not like where you draw your lineage from, you know. And I, again, I'm talking about, you know, traditional Okinawan karate, okay, traditional martial arts. If you have good solid technique, you have the leader of your association has got, you know, extensive credentials, you know, has maybe trained in Okinawa. And again, I just use Okinawa because that's this, you know, I train in Shorinru. It could be China, it could be Japan, could be Korea, could be anything, anywhere. But, you know, if you have the head of your association is someone like that, you know, and you happen to be in America or Canada or Europe, whatever, then that's fine. But your karate should be your own. And there's on Kiyoshi Hurton's website, they've just discovered recently released DVD of Chibana Sensei doing kata. Hmm. You know, and so several of the folks down in New Jersey have purchased it. I've ordered it, and I hope to watch it soon. And but, you know, they're saying that the katas that we're doing are exactly the same as the way Chibana was doing them. You know, hmm. I mean, you watch somebody doing one of our contemporaries do a kata, and you watch Chibana do a kata, and they're the same kata. You know, so I mean, we are training the same way. We are doing the same thing that Chibana Sensei was doing. You know, so it's your karate, I think, that determines whether you're legitimate or not. What? And you know, we can talk about mid-dojos. We can talk about 30-year-old 10th dons. You know, and all that kind of crap that you do seem to get here in the States that maybe detract from our legitimacy overall.
Well, there's the proof of the lineage is in that DVD, is in the fact that we do the same kata. I think part of the problem, I mean, for me, and maybe this is getting way off the track. If it is, I'm sure you guys will tell me. But it seems to be a line going through almost all of our conversations, is a lot of the problem is people don't want to do the homework of what is a real dojo. They'll go to a karate school, and the guy will give them a line, and they'll just say, okay, well, that's what it is then. They don't want to study and find out exactly what the lineage is, if the lineage is real. I mean, it seems to me like that's basically the undertone of almost everything we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it boils down to the technique, you know. I mean, when, and again, going back to my association, you know, there's the guys who train with Master Soken, and you know, in Okinawa, and they're still teaching, and they're just doing their own thing, you know. And there are people who have trained with that trained, you know, back in the 60s or whatever, but with Master Soken and with Master Kisei, and, you know, they came back to the States, and, you know, then they weren't happy with the direction that Master Kisei was leading his association, and they left, and then they started saying, you know, you're doing it wrong, you're not doing it right, because Master Soken taught me this way. And it's like, well, you know, dude, you trained with him for 2 years, you know, or 3 years, or 4 years. You know, Master Kisei trained with him for like 10 years before you even showed up. And before that, he was, you know, before he switched to Master Soken style, he was in Shorinji-ryu, or Shorinji Kenpo, Shorinji-ryu, I think. And, you know, he trained in that, and then he came over. So, you know, he's got his ideas of what he wants to do and how he wants to teach it, and, you know, you can't say that he's teaching it wrong. I mean, when he's got far more experience than you, you know, you can't say he's teaching it wrong, and you can't say it doesn't work, because I've felt it work. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and then by the same token, you know, the instructors here in the States, you know, I felt their technique too, and it works. So you can't say that, you know, to their credit, you can't say that what they're doing is wrong because what Master Kisei is doing is wrong. It's like, well, it both works. And everyone does it a little bit different. And I've seen the kata that people are saying, this is the way Master Soken taught me. And I've seen the kata, and I look at our kata and go, like, really not that different. You know, it's mostly bunkai. It's mostly interpretation of a technique. it's not that anything is particularly is grossly wrong or is much more different than it's the same kata. It's just turn a little different here, turn 45 instead of 90, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I never trained with Sōken, but I trust Master Kisei. And, the way he does kata, the way he teaches kata, and the way he's explained the way the kata is supposed to work makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, if I walked into a dojo, if I walked into a dojo cold, in one of our dojo, or one of your guys' dojo, and you said, we trained, this is our guy in Okinawa, but I never saw him, I'm not going to know the difference. But if I go to a competition or I go to another school after a couple of years, and I go you can tell, your kata is weak or strong. And, who was right? The guy in Okinawa or the guy that taught you? No, it's the guy who taught you.
And yeah. Exactly. And that should mean more than drawing lineage to Okinawa. I mean, you can get your certificate signed by the head of a style from Okinawa. Okay, if you pay your money and you get that, and that person wouldn't know you if he fell over you.
Yeah,
he just signed it. Okay, yeah. Now if that means a lot to you, then fine. I don't mean you specifically, but anyone. If that means a lot to you and you want to have that, then okay, that's fine. Personally, for me, I would rather have a certificate signed by, Kiyoshi Hurton, because at least he knows who the heck I am, and he knows when he's not going to sign my certificate unless he knows that, I'm worthy of that rank,
mm-hmm.
But somebody from Okinawa, and I've never trained on Okinawa, but even if I did, I would be, probably just another, American that comes over every few years or whatever, but they wouldn't know me.
I see that's where we part ways because, and again, I can only say from my association, but, like Master Kisei knows who I am. He may not know my name right off the face of that, but, I've been doing this 20 years and I've been to enough camps and where it means something to me when he gives me my certificate,
Sure, like you've seen him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's the rub. I think, and we were talking about this before the show, and I guess this is where it's going to kick in for me is, when you go to a school, and if the school is touting, the tradition of being an Okinawan art or being a Japanese art or being a Chinese art, and we're affiliated with this grandmaster or this association. There needs to be a strength there, and there needs to be a relationship there, And I don't want to be training with some guy who's like, 15, generations removed, or 15 instructors removed from the Grand Master, acting like, he goes to Okinawa every year, mm-hmm. or that, he trained personally with, Master Sake Donuts, because he didn't. He trained with somebody who trained with somebody who trained with somebody. Don't pimp yourself that way, because it really doesn't help your style. It really doesn't help what you're teaching. And so, those guys. So what I think is, I think people are missing out from having a connection to Okinawa. If their style touts that, if their style is an Okinawan-based style, if they say they teach Shonryu, they do need to have a legitimate and vibrant connection to Okinawa. Your head instructor needs to be going to Okinawa, every year, every couple of years. The head of the style needs to be coming to your school or a school close to yours, every year. That's the part that needs to remain. And if that part's not there, but people are going like, I train Okinawan karate. Well, if you have an absolutely no, a tenuous at best connection to Okinawa, that's where, for me, the breakdown is, because then you're not getting a flavor of Okinawa. You're not getting a feeling of the culture. You're not getting a feeling of the history.
Well, okay. But I don't think that you really need to go to Okinawa to train in Okinawan karate.
Oh, no. I mean, I've never been to Okinawa. I saw it once, you know, when I was in the Navy. Mm-hmm. But I've never touched the soil there, no. And I would love to go there, but you know, I think it's, you know, like Mecca. Maybe everyone should go at least once, but I haven't been yet.
But not every style has an active master that will come over here. How far removed can you be from somebody who, like with us, Kiyoshi goes every three years?
He has.
But how far removed should you be and be able to say that you study in Okinawan style?
Well, I think you can say that you study in Okinawan style all you want, but I don't think you can really, see, this is where it gets in the gray area because, you know, I've known people that, you know, I've been, in fact, in Albuquerque, I trained with a guy who taught Shonryu, and I was like, oh, really, you know, what style is Shonryu? And he goes, just Shonryu. You know, I trained with so-and-so, I got my Shodan under him, I moved, I trained with this guy, I got my Nidan under him. You know, he was a Yandan, and he hadn't been promoted in, like, 10 years because he just, you know, he taught at a school, and that was happy for him. But, you know, and he didn't have a direct connection. He was a really good martial artist, and, you know, we worked out together, and it was a great school. His school had a lot of heart, you know, and he had gone to, I think actually he had gone to one of Master Kisei's seminars, you know, and it was like, oh, yeah, Master Kisei, I know who that is. But he didn't really push the culture of Okinawa. He didn't push the history. And one of the things that, you know, really appeals to me about my branch is, like, I can say, like, you know, that man trained with that guy who trained with, you know, Soka Matsumura, you know, or Bushi Matsumura, you know. And so for me to be able to say, like, you know, okay, I trained with a guy who trained with a guy, you know, I mean, I know how I'm, you know, three generations off of Master Kisei, but I'm never going to say, like, I trained with Master Kisei because I don't train with him often enough to say, like, you know, I train with Grandmaster Kisei. I teach what he teaches. I teach what my teacher taught me. I teach what I learned from Master Kisei. I teach what I learned from Shipe Sensei and from, you know, Ader Sensei and all our regional directors when they come. You know, I teach what I learned from, you know, first degree black belt that I worked out with the other day. You know, that's what I teach. I don't, you know, I don't think I'm teaching an Okinawan style that I learned from an Okinawan. I'm teaching an Okinawan style that I learned, you know, via, you know, from conduits, you know, but I don't think I would be teaching, you know, I guess, you know, the depth of the art, I don't think I'd be teaching if I didn't have a fairly direct connection to Okinawa.
Well, your direct connection to Okinawa is when Master Kisei comes over to train with you.
Right.
You know, and to work with you. Okay,
and so
I mean that. But I mean, even if he didn't, even if he stayed in Okinawa, okay, your instructors have trained with him, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You trust your instructors, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
There's your lineage.
Yeah.
There's your lineage right there.
But what I don't like is when people go, like, you know, I trained with so and so, who trained with so and so, who trained with so-and-so, mm-hmm. who was a student of...
Yeah, it's like the Kevin Bacon game. It's a Kevin Bacon game.
It's 6 degrees of martial separation.
Yeah.
You know? When you see people, like, well, I went to Dan Inosanto seminars, and I trained with, you know, Wally J. I went to some of his seminars, and, you know, blah, blah. It's like, well, you didn't train with anybody, really. You just went to seminars and are you know, working your program. And that's fine, you know. So I guess my beef with all this thing is, like, people still, no matter what, will want a lineage, because they need some sort of, I guess, probably in America, more so, because, you know, you look at Okinawan history. There's a lot of guys who started their own style, you know, who branched off and, you know, said, like, well, okay, I'm another branch of the same style. I guess I should say they started their own branch because they wanted to do it this way, you know. But
you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe the differences between the branches are subtle. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
sometimes,
maybe,
yeah.
I mean, maybe one branch has you know, they have their kata in a different order, you know, or something like that. You know, I mean, there's not big differences between these different branches. You know, when you have a separation like that.
Mostly it's interpretation and it's, you know, emphasis. You know, I trained with a Shodan and Sean Rue from, he's one of his instructor lineage. His instructor, like, is a student of Tadashi Yamashita, mm-hmm. who, you know, is mm-hmm. everyone knows him from the movies, but no one really knows him that much as being like a standalone Shonryu master. And I guess he has his kind of his own branch that he mm-hmm. that he teaches. But we did kata, and their stances were a bit wider, and, you know, they emphasized kata and some things that we didn't emphasize and whatnot. But yeah, you look at the same. You could look at the kata and go, they're the same kata. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the same. But, you know, and I guess maybe that's a good example is, you know, he had to tell me when we were doing email. He said, you know, I trained with, you know, this guy in San Antonio who I had never heard of. And he says, who trained with Tadashi Yamashita? And I'm like, oh, okay, I know who that is. And so I guess maybe amongst ourselves, it's also comforting to know that when you're going to train with somebody or somebody is demonstrating something, there's some sort of foundation in theory somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
now,
so.
My generation, Pete and I, okay, we train regularly with Kiyoshi Hurton, you know, and that's good enough for us. That's yeah. fine. You know, it's an honor to do that, and we're content with that. It's an extra to say that, well, Kiyoshi Hurton, you know, has trained with Nakazato Sensei, you know, and has trained with Iha Sensei, and I don't know who else he's trained with over there. I think I know, but I'm not going to say. I'll let him say. But he's trained with many of the masters over in Okinawa, you know. I mean, and that's where Pete and I and our generation can draw our lineage too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when Pete and I grow up and own our own dojos, you know, mm-hmm. if we're teaching somebody, well, you know, they're not. I don't think that generation is going to be able to, you know, make the same kind of connection. Now you're talking about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, but that's not necessarily true because, you know, when I guess what I intend to do when I become a, you know, a legitimate dojo owner, like I've got a large number of students and, you know, I think part of my personal development would really be to be a quality instructor is to go to Okinawa and train and try and shorten that, you know, that branch, you know, or you know, prune a limb. Whereas, you know, my sensei, I will always, he's going to be my sensei, and I'm always going to say, I train with Don Foster.
Yeah.
But, you know, as an instructor, I'm also going to say, like, and I go, you know, once a year or every couple of years to Okinawa just to, you know, the great thing is we have Master Kisei come, and, you know, he points out stuff in the basics when we're doing it wrong. You know, he doesn't just blow off our 25 basic techniques. He's like, no, your hand's like this, or, you know, when you're teaching white belts, you need to teach them the hand is like this, you know, not when, and so he covers those kind of things when you get here. But so, but to me, just as a martial artist, you know, I guess it's just, it's important to me to have gone to Okinawa and established a closer relationship with our grandmaster.
And, you know? And yeah, my point was like, if nothing changes.
Oh, yeah.
If nothing
yeah.
changes. Now you can change that. And you just did. I mean, you built on my point, and you said, well, you will feel compelled to go over to Okinawa and to train over in Okinawa, you know, at your Hombu Dojo over there, and that's mm-hmm. fine. That's the best way you can reestablish that lineage. But the point I'm trying to make is you don't need American senior students. And by senior, I mean, you know, 7th Dan, 8th Dan. They don't need to answer to anyone over in Okinawa. You know, if they've got these the credentials that most or many traditional sensei have. You know, they can stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so your loyalty is not to a person on an island halfway around the world. Your loyalty is to a style. You know, to a particular route, and if you train hard, you know, and your karate's good, then it's legitimate. Okay, if you don't answer, if there's no oversight from somebody in Okinawa, or again, Japan, China, wherever, Okay, that's fine. As long as you have loyalty to your particular style, you've been training in it legitimately for an extensive period of time, and your whoever is the head of your association here in America has, you know, really legitimate credentials, martial arts credentials. So my point is that it's not the person, you know, that you have that you draw your lineage to or from. It's the style.
But would you not think that, you know, for those senior students that are like that, they would not want someone, you know, who is senior to them to say, like, you know, like, ooh, you know, maybe you should be looking at this, or maybe, you know, this is the next step you need to look at, or, you know, it is time for you to learn, you know, another kata, or, you know, maybe it's time for you to go found your own association. You've learned everything you can, you know. Do you not think they need? I mean, because everyone needs, you know, a point to go, and you know, and I guess, yeah, at some point, you're gonna go, like, you're gonna be your own judge, obviously. But you know, you're an eighth degree. Someone's gonna promote you, and it's gonna be someone who's much, you know, higher rank than you. Don't you think you'd want that relationship to have someone to go, like, okay, no, you look at this now. You know, this is what you need to look at.
Yeah, are you saying that, you know, you can only get that, like, say, if you go to Okinawa?
No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just, my point is, you would want to have, I guess if you'd invested that much time in a traditional art of any region, would you not want someone who is senior to you in that art? And if you, you know, because you look at a lot of the guys now, and we really are running into it, because when I first started this style, we had like one sixth degree in the whole United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he was like the only seventh degree for a long time. And now we have like five or six seventh degrees. And we got a whole ton of sixth degrees and fifth degrees, you know, because the association really blew up. But, you know, for the longest time, you know, he was the only guy who, Master Kisei was above him. That was it, you know. So, you know, now we've got a bunch of seventh degrees. And one of the things that they look for is, you know, they want someone who will point the way for them, you know, and it's not that they can't stand on their own. They're all great martial artists, and, you know, they teach what they teach when they want to teach it and how they teach it, and, you know, they teach Master Kisei's curriculum, and that's well and good, but, you know, they no one can say that they're not their own men, but they need to have, they, you know, Master Kisei says, okay, you know, you look at this now, it's time for you to learn this. Or, you know, maybe, you know, you teach a few more seminars, you know, that kind of thing like that. Mm-hmm. Where, but there's no one really that they consider above them other than Master Kisei. It doesn't matter what, you know, rank they are. So, I guess I was going a long way to say, you know, guys like, you know, your Kyoshi, mm-hmm, have been doing it for so long, there's probably no one senior to them but some guys in Okinawa.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, no.
So the thing about it is, then so who's going to point the way for them?
For who?
For the scene, for like Kyoshi Hurton Kyoshi.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he doesn't feel that he needs anyone to point the way, that's great. But, you know, maybe there's more stuff that he can be taught by his sensei.
Oh, he. Kyoshi Hurton is very.
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's him. I'm just saying an example of four.
Yeah, but okay, but as far as he's concerned, I mean, he's not through. He'll be the first one to tell you that he's not through learning yet. Mm-hmm. He's not finished learning. He doesn't know it all, and he still continues to pursue. You know, I mean, he's forgotten more karate than I will ever know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, he studies jiu-jitsu, he studies judo, he'll look at other stand-up fighting systems. He's looked at mixed martial arts. I mean, you know, he's not just stayed with, you know, Shorin Ryu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, he's broadened his horizons a lot, and thankfully. He, you know, I was studying Chin Na, you know, uh-huh, and I got him a tape. He was, oh, great, give me a tape. I'd like to see it. I train in two-circle jiu-jitsu. I mean, our immediate sensei, Renshi Tony Musso, could have said, no, you don't need to do that, you know. And Kiyoshi Hurton could say, no, you don't need to do that. We got everything you need right here. But they don't. They say, hey, you know, go learn stuff and show us this and show us that, you know. So I don't think, you know, you don't necessarily have to depend on the Okinawans, with all due respect, to guide you along the path. You know, you can you can make your own path. If you have trained for a long enough period of time, you know, and you have those good credentials. Now, sooner or later, we're going to be talking about ourselves if we continue to train.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be talking about, you know, Kiyoshi Ihai anymore. We're going to be talking about Kiyoshi Pete Shambo or somebody, you know. Well, and we're going to say, yeah, you know, he's a good guy, you know. He's never been to Okinawa, but he trained with somebody who studied intensely on Okinawa, you know. And that will lend legitimacy to him.
Well, the question for me is, we've come into an era where we've had two popes in a row that weren't Italian. So when does it, we come a time when we have a master that's American?
Well, I think it's past time, in my opinion. I mean, okay, I drew an analogy on the threat, okay? With Americans invented baseball. It's based on cricket, but it's still, we invented baseball. And we definitely invented basketball, okay? In the past year or so, there were world championships in baseball and just recently in basketball, okay? Now, we sent professional athletes, the best of the best, over, you know, to these tournaments. And the baseball team just, I think they won one game, you know, and the basketball team won a bronze medal, okay? I mean, that's respectable. It's bronze, but, I mean, we invented this game, for crying out loud, you know? So it looks like the world has caught up to us. We're not able to teach the world baseball and basketball anymore. You know, maybe they could teach us a thing or two about these games. Now, karate, on the other hand, you know, it's not a sport, okay, but it was developed on Okinawa, and now we do it here, okay? Japanese baseball or Puerto Rican baseball or Argentine basketball, is that not legitimate because it's not done by Americans? You know?
Well, no. And
exactly.
And you have a really good point. My counter, I guess, the only counter I have to that argument was my sensei went to Okinawa and came back, and I was like, hey, how was the trip? And he's like, yeah, blah, 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 we were talking about it. And I said, like, you know, well, you got to train in the Hombu Dojo. How was that? And he goes, you know, I don't want to do kata ever again. And I said, why? He says, because there were 5-year-old kids out there who were doing, you know, Wansu, Seisan, you know, our basic kata. He says, and I could never hope to do it as well as they do. And he says, and the entire class of kids were doing it. And they were all Japanese kids. They were all Okinawan kids. And, you know, and he was like, you know, he says, and I watch these kids train, and they train harder than anybody does, you know, in general, in America. Mm-hmm. And so I think my argument is, yeah, we can't teach them American baseball because they took baseball and made it better, but we're dealing with an art that they've been doing as a culture for far longer than we've been doing baseball. And I've heard, and now, you know, my sensei was like, you know, and it's true, it's a different mindset, the way they train, the way the Okinawans, the local kids train. And he says, you know, I look at the kids that are training from the military bases, and you look at them next to the Okinawan kids, and they're getting blown away.
But that's the difference in culture.
Yeah, well, see, and so then that would lead, you know, to me that would extrapolate that maybe, yeah, we still do need Okinawa, or you still do need people from the region that it came from, just because the fact that it's much more serious, you know, it's much more culturally dependent.
Well, I think personally, personally, I think that your instructor was just being modest, okay? Little kids, seriously, I mean, a little kid is a little kid, and they're going to learn, you know, at a certain pace when they're developmentally ready to do that, okay? And we're all individuals. Some kids will progress faster than others. as far as the cultural thing goes, I think that, you know, the Eastern cultures have a more more of a humble kind of a perspective, and they're more willing to listen to their instructors. They hold their instructors in with some reverence. Whereas Westerners don't. It's more like, well, I'm paying you this amount of money. What are you going to teach me? Mm-hmm. Okay, and so it's just a different perspective. Now having said that, you can take a 5-year-old American kid and a 5-year-old Okinawan kid, put them in the same dojo, okay, and they're gonna develop the same. Okay, you're not gonna be able to tell the difference. Okay, I really don't think so. But again, you know, my point is that, and it really doesn't matter how long we've been doing baseball versus how long they've been doing karate. It's you know, our generation, you compare one generation with the next generation, you know, and they should be the same. Our baseball players, our basketball players, we're getting beat by, you know, people from other countries, and these are supposed to be our sports. I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe we could learn something from these people from these other countries, just like maybe it's time to start looking at Westerners, not just Americans, but Westerners, you know, as having something to offer as well. And my argument is like, you know, American 7th and 8th Dans who have been loyal to particular style for 30, 40, 50 years, they should be on the same level as similarly ranked Okinawans in a particular style.
Well, maybe when they let the Japanese play in the World Series.
That would be what they need to do.
You know, they said that one of the differences, John Cleese said one of the differences between England and America is, although they speak English, is the fact that when they have a world championship, they invite the rest of the world.
Right.
And, you know, we really don't. But, well, you know, I think that maybe what it kind of comes down to, and it was something you said earlier, Gene, was, and it comes for me, is that, you know, maybe if it's somebody who is highly ranked, highly, you know, experienced martial artist, but, you know, like you say, yeah, maybe they have hit a point in say, Shonryu, for example, where they go like, you know, I've learned, you know, I haven't learned everything I want to learn, but I've kind of got as much of it that I'm going to get as far as, you know, maybe there's a little bit more for me to learn physically, but the rest of it is just me working on it. And they go to train in other styles and stuff like that. I guess it comes down to the individual. You know, if they don't think they need to be affiliated with Okinawa anymore, or Japan, or China, then yeah, no, they probably don't. You know, because then it comes to the quality. You know, and it's a marketing tool. I assume, yeah, they can still say they teach Shonryu because they're still teaching all the stuff.
I think in some cases the question isn't whether or not they think they need to be affiliated with Okinawa, but the question is whether or not they need to be affiliated with Okinawa on the same level.
Yeah. What do you mean? Well, just like I was saying. Okay, a seventh or eighth Dan in America needs to be held at the same, I'm talking about somebody who has extensive credentials in a particular style, okay? Should be held at the same level as a 7th or 8th Dan on Okinawa.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, you know, maybe, I was wondering, you know, I said maybe it comes to a time when, yeah, well, you know, like, I've often kind of noticed it, like, you know, someone will say their style, say they're a master or they're a grandmaster. And, you know, we have all our mail order masters here. You know, they're master so-and-somebody. There's a few of them say they're grandmaster, but most of them just say they're master. But I don't think that, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, when, you know, they say Kyoshi is like a teacher of teachers, or is that Renshi or Shihan, whichever. Anyway, you know, that's kind of the license you get, you know, when they say, okay, you're a master now, you know. And maybe it needs to be something where, you know, the Okinawan masters go like, okay, you know, this American is 7th or 8th Dan, they're a master. You know? I'm the grandmaster, but they're a master. Yeah, they've mastered the style.
Yeah.
You know, and who's going to debate it, you know? So if maybe we need to start an internet campaign to have the Okinawan masters do that. Because, yeah, there are generations of styles where there are seventh, eighth, there are probably multiple seventh, eighth degrees in any given style. And so, yeah, maybe they just need to start saying, okay, yeah, this person has mastered this style. They really don't need any more direction from me. They've mastered the style. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they don't take over the style. They don't, you know, it's still my style and I'm still directing it. Mm-hmm. But they've mastered everything that I've had to teach them.
Yep.
You know, and then mm-hmm. that would be the way it goes.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, just to summarize, my opinion is that American sensei, such as Kiyoshi Hurton and others, you know, with his credentials, you know, they can stand on their own. Their dojos and their associations can stand on their own. They should be held as or viewed as contemporaries to those in Okinawa, you know, and that your loyalty should not be to any one particular sensei, but to a particular style, a particular school, discipline, and you'll know if your style is legitimate by how good your karate is.
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to.
Sure. There you go. And on that note, it's time for some email.
Okay.
All right?
Yes. Who wants to? Shall I go first?
I don't have any, so it's one of you two.
Okay. Alex from L.A., California, says he was talking about the McMac program from a couple weeks ago with Shane. And let me turn the screen so I can see and talk at the same time. Can civilians get McMap training in the same way that Krav Maga is available? If so, where? Did I say Krav Maga right?
Close enough.
Yeah, sure.
Close enough. In the podcast, that I've got plenty of tonight. In the podcast, Shane did say that he was endeavoring to do something similar on a civilian basis, mostly to police officers. Towards the end of the podcast, he said about a seminar that he's giving in New Jersey in October. He also gave the name of a website. I don't have that in front of me. But once again, it's like in the last 10 minutes of the podcast with Shane on the McMac program. I hope that answers the question.
Good. Yeah, I mean, there are people out there who are teaching, you know, like law enforcement tactics and military tactics. And I don't know if you're going to get directly... You know, because I trained with a guy who had been through the McMac program. He was whatever I guess the first level was, because he'd only been in a couple of years, and you know, but the techniques really weren't that different. You know, I think it's more the quality. You know, like when they train in the boots and the armor plate and the stuff like that. I think that's where you know it really starts getting different.
Hmm. I have an email. This one is from George F. Garibaldi. He writes to us from Denmark, guys.
He says, for Denmark.
Yeah. For the last 20 years, I have been studying the Wado Ryu style of karate. I love to train with and learn from other people and other styles. A week ago, I bought an iPod and Googled for karate podcasts. That's how I came across your site. I've been listening since and enjoying your podcasts. I think you are doing a great job, not only from a technical point of view, but the manner in which you conduct the programs is great. I believe that you guys are great representatives for karate in general and your dojo in particular. Your respectful and open-minded way is what karate needs the most today. If you ever come to Denmark, you are most welcome in my dojo. Best regards. And he has a few links. www.10ten-chi-jin.dk. 10chijin.dk. Yeah, maybe that's his dojo. So, well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that's great. It's good to know, because now we've got Denmark and what, Australia and Jersey,
yeah.
I think.
we
got all kinds of places.
Yeah.
And just to make a point on George's email, I would like to again compliment Pete Shambo. Pete's really the brains behind this outfit, and he's the one that really has pulled it together. He does all the editing and a lot of hard work on his part. So again, you know, we wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for if it weren't for Pete. So thanks again, Pete, and keep up the good work.
Thanks. I do it because it's a pleasure to do, and I do it for the feedback. We don't do it for the money because there is none, but we do it for the feedback and to know that there's a conversation, that we're getting a conversation going about martial arts. If I may digress for 1 second, the reason I'm doing a we're doing a podcast is I'm the one that started it. There's used to be a TV host on a technology channel in the United States, and when the technology channel went away, he started podcasting, and there's a lot of people that podcast because of him. I don't know if Paul may or may not know who I'm talking about, but I mean, he says basically the same thing, the great thing about podcasting is that it's not a one-way communication. It's not like radio or TV. It's once we get the information out, you guys interact with us. That's what we want to hear. We want you to email us at karatecafe.com or go to email us at karatecafe@gmail.com or go to karatecafe.com and get on the forums and talk to us that way.
Exactly. And we're getting more and more listeners, you know, with every podcast and getting a lot of emails. And we really appreciate interacting with us and we appreciate your feedback. So please keep the cards and letters coming.
From people we don't even know.
Anything else, guys?
I think that's it for tonight.
No, that's about it. Yeah, I just think that everyone should tune in next week because, yeah, hopefully we can maybe get Travis in and talk about his testing. I think that'll be a really interesting show.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear from Travis. I'd like to hear what his test was, comprised of, because you're right, Paul. It's been so long since we've undergone our very first test, you know, that I really forget what it was like, and it'll be interesting to hear his perspective. Until then, we'd like to thank you for listening to Karate Cafe's podcast. I'm Gene Myers.
Pete Chambeau.
I'm Paul Wilson.
Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.